We good? Perfect. Okay, there we go. Thanks for letting me stand up here again. I always like to do it. And the kids can go as well. Bye. Might be more fun out there, actually. Today we're starting off a new series, which the tagline of is All In, and this idea of being all into something. When I came over here, I had the opportunity to, pack my suitcases, and I had everything prepared. I could even look on Google Maps to see where everything was before I even got here. I was able to see on Google Street View. I could literally see outside the building. I could see, well, relatively, Mark and Georgie's postcode doesn't give you any information as to where they actually live. So I had a general idea that it was in some, like, half-mile radius. But I was able to know a lot of things that were going on, and so I could come in here with some idea of what was going on, and I feel like I was all in. And then I remember some of the missionaries that have gone before us. And about a century ago, some people went in as missionaries, and these men and women, they went in all in. They became known as one-way missionaries because they would purchase single tickets into the mission field without the return half. They would find themselves so convinced to be out there on the mission field where God had destined them to be that they didn't even care about coming back. And instead of suitcases, so I had, two carry-on luggage and a backpack that you could take on the airplane, they would pack their things in coffins because they knew that more than likely they wouldn't be coming back with the stuff they had. Yeah. Thankfully, I didn't have to bring a coffin here. That's a nice feeling. But they would leave. They would sail out of port knowing that they probably would never see their family again. I get to Skype home every week. But they would leave behind everything they knew, knowing that they'd probably never return home. And one of these missionaries was a guy by the name of A.W. Milne, and he set sail for New Hebrides in the South Pacific, knowing full well that more than likely he would be killed while he was out there, or at least he wouldn't be making it his way back. It's interesting because he didn't fear for his life because he'd already died to himself. He'd already decided that whatever his life was, it was worth giving up for the sake of sharing the good news of Jesus with other people. It was so worth it that he was willing to go all in with everything that he had, packing a coffin and shipping it out with him over to this new place. And he didn't fear for his life. His coffin was packed, and for 35 years, he was a missionary on the front lines there amongst the tribe. And he loved them, and they loved him. And after those 35 years, when he died, the tribe members buried him there in their village, and they inscribed this epitaph on his tombstone. When he came, there was no light, but when he left, there was no darkness. And that's, quite something to live up to, isn't it? It's the hope that we carry when we carry Jesus. It's the hope that we get to carry when we go all in for Jesus. And I was really excited, actually, to find out what I was speaking on, because this is one of my favorite characters in the whole of the Bible, and it's Noah. Now, most of us will have heard the story of Noah before. When I was a kid, we had like this blanket that was on the wall in the Sunday school room in the Baptist church that we went to, and you could like get the animals and stick them inside the nice little like soft ark, and it was really lovely. But it's important that we realize this isn't a children's story. It's something we can teach to children, and there's things they can learn out of that. But it's a serious thing that happened. It was a serious moment. And more than just a story, actually, it's real. Sometimes we teach these things like they're stories, and so they end up with the likes of the Brothers Grimm, or we're talking about like Winnie the Pooh or Mother Goose, and we chuck these Bible stories, which are full of God's grace and goodness, into that category, and we think they're not for us today. They're not for us as adults. We don't need to appreciate these things. But I want to read you the story, part of the story, I want us to look at how Noah, in his time, went all in. So this is just as the flood begins, Genesis chapter 7. This version is called the easy-to-read version. We use it a lot with the boys when we're just doing discipleship stuff because it's at my level, which is about year 7. and it says this in Genesis chapter 7. I'm going to read the whole chapter. Then the Lord said to Noah, I have seen that you are a good man, even among the evil people of this time. So gather your family and all of you go into the boat. Get seven pairs, seven males and seven females, of every kind of clean animal, and get one pair, one male and one female, of every other animal on the earth. Lead all these animals into the boat with you. Get seven pairs, seven males and seven females of all the birds. This will allow all these animals to continue living on the earth after the other animals are destroyed. 7 days from now, I will send much rain on the earth. It will rain for 40 days and 40 nights, and I will wipe everything off the face of the earth. I will destroy everything I made. Noah did everything the Lord told him to do, and Noah was 600 years old at the time the rains came. He and his family went into the boat to be saved from the flood. His wife and his sons and their wives were on the boat with him. All the clean animals, all the other animals on the earth, the birds and everything that crawls on the earth went into the boat with Noah. These animals went into the boat in groups of two, male and female, just as God had commanded. 7 days later, the flood started. The rain began to fall on the earth. On the 17th day of the second month, when Noah was 600 years old, the springs under the earth broke through the ground, and water flowed out everywhere. The sky also opened up like windows, and rain poured down. The rain fell on the earth for 40 days and 40 nights. That same day, Noah went into the boat with his wife, his sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth, and their wives. They and every kind of animal on the earth were in the boat. Every kind of cattle, every kind of animal that crawls on the earth, and every kind of bird were in the boat. All these animals went into the boat with Noah. They came in groups of two from every kind of animal that had the breath of life. All these animals went into the boat in groups of two, just as God had commanded Noah. Then the Lord closed the door behind Noah. Water flooded the earth for 40 days. The water began rising and lifted the boat off the ground. The water continued to rise, and the boat floated on the water high above the earth. The water rose so much that even the highest mountains were covered by the water. The water continued to rise above the mountains. The water was more than 20 feet above the highest mountain, and every living thing on earth died. Every man and woman, every bird, every kind of animal, all the many kinds of animals, and all the things that crawl on the ground died. Every living, breathing thing on dry land died. In this way, God wiped the earth clean. He destroyed everything living on the earth, every animal, every human, every animal, everything that crawls, and every bird. All that was left was Noah and his family and the animals that were with him in the boat. And the water continued to cover the earth for 150 days. It's not usually the way we tell the children's story. We often skip that bit out. But we've got to understand what was going on in Noah's world to understand what's happening here. If you look back in Genesis chapter 6, it says this in verse 5. The Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intention of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And so the Lord was sorry that he'd made man on the earth, and it grieved him to his heart. I mean, what do you have to do to make God sorry he'd even created mankind in the first place? I think sometimes we can look around the world that we have today and we can wonder if there's any hope, if there's any possible hope for the future of this world, because there's so much brokenness. I mean, you can open your phone and within 3 seconds you could pull up some tagline from the news that's talking about an atrocity that's going on around the world. Some of those atrocities happening in cities very near here as well. And we think it's never been like this before. It's never been this bad before. There can't be a hope for now. But the truth is, it was worse at one point. It was so bad that the Lord was sorry that he'd made man on earth, and it grieved him to his heart. And so the Lord said, I will blot out man, whom I created from the face of the land, man and animals and creeping things of the and the birds of the heavens, for I am sorry that I have made them. And so we have to understand that God takes this very seriously. He takes very seriously the evil that can fester in our hearts. There will be things in our hearts where we have an intention to seek out things for selfish purposes. And when those things end up, they always end up at the expense of somebody else. And that's what was going on here. Every thought of every man was evil continually. It wasn't just moments of bad things in life, but it was constant evil in the world. But, and that's an important word here. It's important to, so I'm going to give you a tip. Anytime you're in the Word and you start to feel a bit down because the story's kind of depressing now, really, isn't it? We want to go back to the children's story and putting soft animals in a bucket that looks like the ark. But it's important to look for the buts in this. Because it doesn't end with Noah stuck in the ark, with the world in ruin, and God regretting mankind. The story carries on. Jesus always brings the story further on than we think he will. Because in Hebrews, it says this, in chapter 11. It says, "By faith, Noah, being warned by God concerning events as yet unseen, in reverent fear, constructed an ark for the saving of his household." Because the story doesn't end there. Because as we go further on into this, we realize that Noah had heard from the Lord something that he was going to have to do. If you go back, and I know most of us know the story, but Noah was quite old at this point. He's like 500 years old. And if you're interested in it, I can give you some resources. I decided not to go into the science and the history bits as to why this is actually possible. But it's an amazing read, so really you should go look that up. But Noah is 500 years old at this point, and God tells him that there's going to be a flood in a land which doesn't get floods like this. It's not just going to be like, you know, a wash out of the road or something like that. It's going to cover the entire earth. It's going to kill every living thing that's on the planet. And he's telling this to Noah, and it's this moment where you realize that Noah's got to be a special guy. And Noah's the reason I like this guy. Noah's one of the guys that gets a butt, right? There's people in the Bible that get butts, and this is what it says. Back in verse 7 of chapter 6. "So the Lord said, I will blot out man whom I have created, who I have created from the face of the land, man and animals and creeping things and birds of the heavens, for I am sorry that I have made them. But Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord." So he's a man different from everybody else. He's a man who in his time, God cannot find a single other person on the whole planet that he finds favor in, but Noah. And Noah will be saved in this circumstance because Noah had faith in God. And it's this faith, this action that Noah gives, that's the thing that saves him in the end. So many of us have heard the verse, faith without works is dead. And this is what it says in James chapter 2 about that. It says, "What is good, my brothers? What good is it, my brothers, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can that faith save him? If a brother or sister is poorly clothed and lacking in daily food, and one of you says to him, 'Go in peace, be warmed and filled,' without giving him the things needed for the body, what good is that? So also, faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead." So imagine Noah there, right? So he's 500 years old. He's starting to have some, he's got some kids now. God's just told him to build this ark because there's a massive flood coming. And in this moment, Noah has a choice, because in truth, it wasn't necessarily his belief that saved him in the end. It was a vehicle for his obedience. So Noah's faith led into his obedience, and that's how he was saved. Noah had to actually build an ark to make it through the flood. He wasn't just going to float around on his beliefs and hope that all things would be okay. He actually had to be obedient to God to make it through that. To get through the things that he was going to have to go through, he was going to have to trust and have faith in the things that weren't yet seen. He was going to have to trust and believe that what God had said was true. He was going to have to actually build the ark. Now, what we can read in here is that we can estimate there's about 50 to 75 years it took Noah to build this ark. Now, imagine number one, and by the way, some of our young people know a bit what this is like, being the only one who believes in God. Because some of our young people will be the only Christian in their year group, quite honestly. Maybe one, two, or three of them in there. But imagine being the only Christian, the only person who believes in God, and then being told to do this thing which doesn't make any sense for the people you're around, And then realizing you're going to have to do it pretty publicly because it wasn't a small thing. So he's going to have to be out there and he's going to have to go and trade for some gopher wood from this guy. And he's going to have to go get some stuff from this guy because he's going to have to build this stuff together. It's going to take some time. The word's going to get out that this guy who believes in a God is building a giant boat. People are going to have to start seeing the actions that he's doing. He can't live his faith privately. He can't keep it quiet. He's got to live his faith out in front of the people if he's going to stay obedient to God, if he's going to live out the faith that he has. So you can imagine Noah there, 500 years old, I don't know what he looks like, but he's got splinters in his hands from years of building an ark. He's probably got his sons helping out carrying logs from that place to that place. I don't know if any of you had to grow up helping your parents out, doing DIY around the house. I've got some fiberglass insulation in my arms, I'm pretty sure, from when I was like 15 still. But Noah's building the ark, and this is, you know, Noah's project, and you can imagine that the kids growing up, and oh, you're Noah's kid, the guy who's building a boat in his backyard for when the flood takes the whole earth out. And you can imagine how crazy Noah sounded, being the only one. And yet, he stuck with it. He made it all the way through. And they got on the ark. And so this is what we read when we come into Genesis chapter 8. It says this. Remembering what we just read here, that the water had continued to cover the earth for 150 days. And then another great word in the Bible, but God did not forget about Noah. God remembered him and all the animals that were with him in the boat. God made a wind blow over the earth, and all the water began to disappear. Rain stopped falling from the sky, and water stopped flowing from under the earth. The water that covered the earth began to go down. After 150 days, the water was low enough that the boat touched land again. The boat stopped at one of the mountains of Ararat. This was the 17th day of the 7th month. The water continued to go down, and by the first day of the 10th month, the tops of the mountains were above the water. And this next verse just kind of blew me away when I started to read it and realize what it meant. So 40 days later, Noah opened the window he had made in the boat. Now, when you read the instructions for building the boat, it doesn't say anything about windows. Noah, at some stage in this process, is building this ark and has this design, and I think God probably gave him some visuals for it as well. But he's building this window, and you could imagine Noah on the other side of the flood thinking, I don't know what this is going to be like. I don't know what these waters are going to do. I don't know which of my friends I'm really going to lose in the end of this. That guy that I bought wood from, he probably won't be there at the end of this. But I'm going to build this window in the ark because one day I'm going to open up this window and out there will be this new world, this new place that God's promised, where there's not this evil and this torment that's been going on, where I can live my faith out freely with my family and our family can cover the whole earth. And he's building a window in the ark for something that he hasn't even seen yet. He hasn't seen what the world's going to look like, and yet he's already ready to see it through a new window. And I think sometimes we have to realize that for us, it's not a flood that's coming, but there are storms that we go through in life. And there are difficulties that we go through in life. And God will often say to us to do some silly things, like move to Wales. And at times it won't make any sense because you'll have to quit things. You'll have to start up new things. You'll have to break relationships with some people to start up new relationships with other people. But God, that whole time, in that time when people are ridiculing you because year after year after year you're doing this thing which doesn't make sense to the world, and yet God's saying, there's a future you can't see yet, but it's coming, and I want to prepare you for it. And so that moment of decision when Noah decides, I'm going to build an ark. There had to be a moment, right? There had to be this time where God says, this thing's going to happen to you, and you're going to have to build an ark. And Noah goes, I believe God. I trust that what he's saying is true, and I'm going to do it. And I think in a lot of ways that's a lot of our story of coming to faith, is that we've seen that God is real. We've believed that he's real. We've decided we're going to trust him with everything, with our life, with our world, and we've decided we're going to build an ark with our life. We're going to do the thing that God has envisioned for our life, that picture that he's laid out in front of us, that design that he has for us, he's given to us. And we've got to step into that all in, because if we get lazy behind at some stage, we're going to miss something along the way. I mean, imagine if Noah got to year 74 and said, I mean, is it really going to come? Should we just not build that door? I mean, there's no point at this stage, really. I mean, we don't really need to do that. It's not happening. The animals aren't even here yet. So how is that even going to happen? Not sure. Because all that happened the last 7 days before he left. Imagine if that doubt just overtook him and he missed out on a new world. And yet, he doesn't, which is great. Because he steps out in faith. He obeys God. He lives the life that God had laid out for him. Sometimes in real detail as to how the ark meant to be built, but also in the faithfulness that he knew that God was honoring in him. So Noah has this amazing opportunity, and I think we have this amazing opportunity to believe that God is real when nobody else thinks he is, to trust that he's actually saying what's true and that he has a plan and he has a purpose for all this stuff, but also to be obedient in that and to follow after the things that he has for us. Because I think without that, our faith is pointless. Without the obedience, our faith is dead. We can believe all we want to believe, but if we're not willing to step out and build a boat, we're going to really struggle to float on the flood. Because it's coming. There'll be times in life, and for many people, there already have been times in life where it seems insurmountable, where it seems like life can't go on anymore. And God said, look, get in the ark. I've already prepared that for you. You've built into this. You've bought into the family now. I'm going to shut the door and I'll protect you. Because don't miss that part, that God's the one that shuts the door. And he seals that place up. And he says, you can trust in me. You can trust that you'll make it through this. Because Noah wasn't just in the flood for 40 days and 40 nights. It was like a year that they were on the water. They're stuck in this boat with your family for like a year in a small space. I don't know if you've done car journeys for very long. In America, we like to do car journeys. And we have a big family, so we could never afford to fly anywhere. And I remember flying, we would drive from Texas to Florida to visit family. And it's like 20 hours by the time you finish it all. And you're in the car, and I have four brothers and sisters. I have two brothers and two sisters. And there was someone else who was living with our family at the time as well. And so there was all eight of us in this van. And it was about 15 minutes down the road, and we were already fighting with each other, deciding who got to sit where and who got to do what. And you can just imagine that a year together on this boat with some smelly animals, because, you know, animals. And with family, and these arguments might have cropped up, that it probably was feeling like, all right, maybe this flood's never coming down. And imagine if they'd given up then. I mean, there's ample opportunity here to say, all right, the flood came, but maybe that whole promise of getting me through it's not real. Because he said, you know, it's going to rain for 40 days and 40 nights, but there's nothing here about a year of being on the water. He never told me any of that stuff. So after 40 days, you can imagine, I would be, not Noah probably, but I would be pretty annoyed that I'm still in the water after 40 days. You said it's going to rain then. And I didn't even think about the fact that it had to drain somewhere, and that was going to take some time. So I think we need to get this process moving. And yet he waits another 11 months before he even gets off the boat. And he trusts continually in God throughout that whole process. Because he believes that what God says is true, and he's obedient to follow after him. Now, the exciting part is that God promises, with the sign of a rainbow, that he's never going to do that again. He's not going to wipe the earth out like that. He promises that he's going to bring about a savior. And he promises a perfect ark, being Jesus. And so we get to experience Jesus in this relationship with God that Noah couldn't have actually understood what this is like. I mean, basically everybody in this Old Testament didn't understand what it was like to live with the Holy Spirit in your life every single day. Knowing that from the moment you wake up in your dreams, when you go to bed, when you're in the hardest places in life, the Holy Spirit is there with you and in you all the time and can be with you and in you all the time. He didn't know what that was like, but he trusted in God for all those years. And Jesus becomes that more perfect ark. But just like Noah's like building the ark, and just like he had to stay in the ark and trust that it was going to be the way that he was going to make it back to dry land, we've got to believe that it's a process that we're going through to be saved into Christ. So there's definitely a moment where we decide we're going to build an ark, right? We're going to believe in Jesus. We're going to decide to give our lives over to him. We're going to live out that faith. But there'll be times when we got to go through the flood for a while, because God's making us into his son. He's making us to be more like Jesus. He's giving us the truth that he has for us, and he's allowing us to live that out in obedience to him. He gives us those opportunities. So that saving that Noah had, that ark, wasn't just good for his obedience. It was actually good for his saving, and it lasted further on into eternity. And so all of Noah's life was changed. All of humanity was changed. It changed the world. From this point, humanity then began to spread out with this knowledge that there is a God, that he cares about us, that he loves us, and he always remembers us. Because don't forget that bit in Genesis chapter 8, verse 1, where it says, "But God did not forget about Noah. God remembered him and all the animals that were with him in the boat." He never forgot that piece. So I wonder, we're all going to be at different stages in our life. Some people are kind of getting this sense that God might be telling you to build an ark. He maybe has given you some kind of vision for your life, some kind of idea of what life could be like with him. But you got to decide whether or not you're going to build it. And you got to decide, because in a while, it's going to get big enough, you're not going to be able to keep it in the back garden shed anymore. And it's going to have to start showing out a little bit. And so we've got to make that decision. But some of us, we're building the ark. We've got some splinters in our hands, and it's getting tiring. And maybe it's like year 74, and we're just thinking, I'm not sure it's coming. But we got to stay faithful or give up. But I really hope you stay faithful, because God has something for you. And if you're in that moment where you're building in this ark, don't forget to build a window in the top. Don't forget to that place where you're living right now, where it's really hard, it's really difficult. Life doesn't seem like it's going to go on. The idea that this is hard and there's a flood coming makes it even harder to think about. But remember that in life, you got to build a window into what you're going to see out of that one day. Because one day you're going to see a future which doesn't look like today. Because one day there's going to be a kingdom on this earth that doesn't have any of the injustices that go on now. There won't be the atrocities of the world that happens now. People won't be being bullied at school. You won't be fired from your job for illegitimate reasons. Relationships won't be broken. There'll be hope. There'll be a future for all people. There'll be purpose in that. And that's the hope that we've got to believe in. That's the exciting future that we have. And when you're building that window in your life of that hope that you're going to see one day, that's what we have to be looking forward for. Now, some of us are, we're on the boat, and the flood's coming, or it's here already. And you're kind of there, and the animals are starting to smell, because they're animals. And your family's starting to nag, and you know the kids didn't do their chores, and even though you made a really nice cleaning rota, and you know it was supposed to be Shem this day and Ham this day, but that didn't happen, and it's just getting a bit too much, really. It's just tiring, and you did all this work. I mean, you built this whole ark, it's all done. This should be it. Haven't you done enough? And it feels like it's time to quit. You know, maybe we just decide we're going to live on this boat now. Maybe we just decide this is the way that life's going to be forever. But don't forget that the waters will recede, that one day you'll open that window, and those things in your life which you thought could never be fixed, could never be resolved. I mean, the whole earth being covered by water. And I used to live next to some mountains in Colorado. When I'm there, I live next to mountains in Colorado. And I'm just imagining. So we live at 6,000 feet and the mountain's at 12,000 feet. And I'm imagining if that whole bit was covered in water, that's all got to go somewhere. But I can't change that. I can't make the water go down faster. I can get like a little cup and try to like move it somewhere else. But it's not going to happen. It has to be something in my life that changes. But regardless of all that, If I'm in that boat and I'm thinking it's never going to change, I've got to believe that one day I'm going to open the window and it's going to be better. Because what's great is Noah didn't have to wait till he died for it to get better. He could experience the better right now. Because when he opened the window, it was his new life. It was the beginning of a new life on earth. It was the beginning of a hope for a future that he had not seen. That's what Hebrews tells us faith is all about. And so we have that opportunity in life that if we're at that place in the boat and it's time to open the window, that we get to begin to see that there's a new life ahead of us. And so as believers, I think we get that all the time. And those floods will come and they'll go. But don't forget that you can open the window and see the new life before the end has come. The new life can be here and it can be now. And we get to experience that without having to worry about the end. So I just wonder, would you pack your stuff in a coffin? Because basically, if you think about it, that's what Noah did. He packed the whole world into a coffin. At the end of the day, it's a big wooden boat. But if it all went wrong, yeah, none of us would be here, I think. It's a heavy thing to feel. Because there's going to be times, and there probably for many of you has been times where it feels like you're packing things. But you kind of just want to take that extra carry-on because you never know if you might need this stuff. I don't know what kind of packers you are, right? So some people pack really heavy. I like to pack light. But I had a friend one time, and they would have a suitcase. I mean, it was like a weekend trip, like 2 days. And the suitcase is that tall and that wide, and they're about that tall. They could have packed themselves in that suitcase. Because they're so worried about what might come, they had to, you know, I'm not sure if I'm ready. So let me bring this stuff with me. Maybe I can take this with me, you know. Well, you never know if, you know, it might get cold that night, and, you know, tomorrow night I might need this pair of shoes for that. That's not what God calls us to. He says, are you willing to give it all up? Are you willing to take all that stuff that you've prepared, all this stuff in life, and are you willing to trust it to him? A lot of it's going to be useful in the future, but are you willing to take what he's given you and trust him with it? That's a decision no one can make for anyone. It's a decision each of us has to make for ourselves. And the question is, are you going to make it? Let's pray. Father, I just thank you for your unfettered faithfulness to us. God, I thank you that we have a hope and a future of things not yet seen. Father, I thank you that in that window of my life when things were so difficult that I thought it was going to be over, that you showed me a life and a future that had hope in it and it had newness in it. And God, I think tonight there's individuals that will have a sense that they're just tired of building an ark. There's like splinters in their hands every day. It takes too long to take them out. And it's just getting too much. And the idea that a flood's coming as well, this might not even be the hardest part, that it's insurmountable. But God, I pray that they would go all in with you, that they would just give everything up to you, that they would say, look, whether it takes me 5 years or 75 years, I'm going to build this ark and I'm going to trust my life to you. And God, I pray that you would just maybe touch that in someone's heart tonight. Wherever they are in that place, God, that they would seek after you and just take this moment just to commit themselves to you. Father, I thank you that Jesus has come and he's died on the cross for us after living a perfect life as your son. And that even in those days when it was dark and those disciples were going through the flood and they thought there was no hope for the future, that Jesus rose again. I mean, we just sang about it. And God, that's the exciting future that we get welcomed into, that King Jesus, who now is in heaven, who's ruling and reigning, welcomes us into his family. And so, Father, I pray that we would embrace the wholeness of what that is. Father, I pray that you would give us more and more faith. And Father, I pray that that faith would lead into obedience for each and every one of us. I pray that we would capture a hold of what your vision is for our lives and that we would see that hope for a future is something that you designed for us. Father, I pray that as we go from this place and as we spend some time with one another even, that we would just begin to seek after your face, that we would begin to center ourselves on who you are and who we are in you, that we can be solely sold out for you like nobody else. It's in Jesus' name, amen.